Welcome, folks, to this edition, the Thursday edition of the Hagmann Report. It is September 25, 2024. I want to thank you so much for joining us tonight. Thank you for your gracious gift of time, and I hope you will. Find value to this program tonight, to this episode tonight. Before we begin, I just want to mention something here. Earlier today, I did post something on X, okay, the X platform, and I wrote this: "What justice?" Because this has been kind of a theme all week. You know, what justice? I write this with respect for Cash Patel and Bongino, and I tagged them in both, and I said, "You both wrote exquisitely detailed books." For example, Cash Patel, Government Gangsters, and Bongino, Spygate, and others. So, you know, while they were in the private sector, while you were in the private sector, you laid out detailed criminal cases. You cited evidence. Then you promised justice. Okay. Now, I do understand, I added this, I do understand the requisite standards of evidence for an indictment, but you both had a head start. There it is right there. Thank you, Eric the Tech. You both had a head start. So what happened? And then I added one other thing, and I tagged Julie Kelly, because her work is impeccable, as well as Catherine Herridge. I said, also, consider the excellent investigative work done by Julie Kelly and Catherine Herridge, and many others, all giving their time and talents, providing ample and accessible evidence of corruption and institutional rot that could be easily authenticated and prepared for legal prosecution. The law was already done, and I wrote, please don't let them or us down. Perjury is the lowest hanging fruit of a tree of charges. That's what I wrote. So it was probably an hour after that, maybe two. I see that Comey was indicted on two charges, 18 USC 1001. Yeah. So it's, what is that? It's a false statement charge. And then the second offense, but of obstruction of Congress. Okay. I had to think there for a second. But really, the penalties, up to 5 years in federal prison, up to 8 years if the offense involves domestic international terrorism, fines are both. Bottom line, Catherine Herridge wrote this, considered, quote, low-hanging fruit. Huh. Just like I said. So what are we doing here? What in the, and I'm serious about this, what are we doing here? Now, you may say, well, this will lead to others. This will get people scared. This is a start. All right. You know what a start is? I mean, ask Peter Navarro how he feels about that. Ask Roger Stone how he feels about that. All right. You know, ask President Trump how he feels about that. Ask the people who got their doors kicked in. Ask the January 6th political prisoners who were victims of the process of political persecution. Folks, I'm going to tell you right now, and I said this before, and I'm going to say this again. And Steve Quayle is waiting in the wings patiently. God bless him. And I appreciate this. I appreciate him just allowing me just a few seconds here. I said before, and I will repeat this, you know, we, Steve Quayle, myself, there comes with age, hopefully, a level, learned with age and the wisdom of learn from personal experience, there comes a moment when you have to sit down. And you sit down in the quiet by yourself. Maybe you've got your best furry friend, the dog, your dog with you. And you begin to contemplate decades. For example, Steve Quayle, myself, we've witnessed decades of history's tides. We felt the tides of history firsthand. And also with age, Steve can say the same thing, comes the personal scars etched by loss. sacrifice, by hard-learned lessons that deepen our perspective and set us apart from the younger generation. Generations, plural, I guess. And the marks that we bear, many invisible, yet indelible, all of us of this age, provide a very unique clarity with which we face life's waning moments. You know, Steve and I spoke, and I want to speak for Steve, but we sit knowingly closer to the threshold of our earthly exits. We admit that. We talk about that. And I'm saying this with the urgency of one who sees the horizon and the sun setting in the horizon. So I say this to everyone, and then Steve will come on. I'm done. I am absolutely over this dog and pony show, this kabuki theater. I'm done with the bullshit of self-censorship. Ain't happening. I am done with pretty much the all foolish filters, and I'm leaning toward honest assessment, obviously, which I've tried to do forever, but this time without the filters. There's no room for pretense. There's no room for restraint, only the raw urgency of truth. And I'm telling you that right now because time, that precious gift that God has given us, demands that we use it wisely. And I'm not going to let it slip away in silence. With that, Steve Quayle, stevequayle.com. He's got a lot to say, and I just can't wait. And thank you, Steve, for allowing me just to open with that. Because, folks, hey, Steve, I mean, really, that's the best you can do. I could write up a criminal filing and have. Yeah. And make it hurt worse.
And tell you something, low-hanging fruit is a compliment because we've got treason at the highest levels. Yeah. We've got the biblical mandate that we're in the end times. I hate to disappoint some black African and their black African pastors who are telling everybody the rapture was going to come yesterday and it didn't come. And one of them claimed that Jesus appeared to him. Well, I got news for you. That's not real Jesus. I want people to understand something. If you think you're getting out of here before things get tough, you're looking at Doug and I, we've been in this thing for 24 years, I guess, together. You're looking at two men who could say a lot, but we've throttled ourselves in this actually back in order to protect our family, our loved ones. But there comes a time, and what Doug is saying, I can only echo it. Obviously, I'm older than he is by quite a bit.
By a lot, yeah.
Yeah, no, by a lot. No. And I did finish that, Doug, by quite a bit. But as I sit and watch the men and the mighty men of God that have been taken from us, all the way back to people like Derek Prince, all the way forward to people like Tom Horn, to Chuck Missler, to all these people, Bob Griswold, all these people that have been on talk radio that were basically my friends, they're in heaven. And I sit and contemplate, Lord, how much time do I have? And I want to make this clear. King David is a role model. And he said, teach me to number my days, O Lord, that I don't sin or trespass against you. And Doug, I apologize. Excuse me.
That's all right, man.
Look. If I cough a little tonight, I've got the crud in my chest. I'm praying I don't, but please just bear with me. Now, right. Today, we have, for the first time in history, the biggest, in my opinion, military blunder that has ever taken place that violates every security protocol. And I don't think people understand what's involved when you bring all of the brass, so to speak, back from all their posts around the world. We're talking about Pete Hegseth under Donald Trump's orders, and what's so important and secret. Now, Doug, you taught me the term copious notes. So I'm going to go through the ones I have because I want to, you know, I want to go and keep this.
Steve, I got to just tell you something about that real quick. I'm sorry. No. But you know, I'm taking more notes than ever. And the only problem now I have is I am unable to read my own notes. I used to be able not to. I mean, before I could write fairly well. And I wrote something to my wife the other day, and she looked at it and she said, "What is this?" And so the copious notes were once great. However, now I got to tell you, brother, can't read them. Go ahead, sir. Can't write them. Can't read them.
I'm in the same boat. I've got to have a cataract surgery and change of my glasses. And I'm not bitching. I'm just saying this is what happens. And again, back to King David, he made the statement to number his days. Now, Doug, you and I have lived in a world where there are a lot of people that want to shorten our days. And for the sake of brevity and not, flipping people out, we have withheld a lot of information, not that would affect them, that would affect us. And literally tell people, look, this is no game. So I'm going to go through the list. Okay. I can read it, but okay. I'm going like this now, and it's critical. Follow this, ladies and gentlemen, because I'm going to try and stay linear. Help me, Jesus. I mean that. What's so important and secret that the president and the secretary of war would call the 630 generals and admirals from all areas around the world, leaving USA military without on-site global leadership? Now, how about this, you guys, and all of our listening audience? Did the president or the secretary of war consider the grave risk of having all the military brass, the president, the vice president, speaker of the house, all in the same secure meeting room and globally advertising it? In case you don't realize what I'm going for, I'll tell you right away. We have the presidential succession. Anything happens to the president, President Trump, then Vice President Vance, and then it goes down to, obviously, the speaker of the house. That's the presidential succession. Now, all in the same secure meeting room and globally advertising it? Ladies and gentlemen, this is the age of the most advanced drones. This is the age of the most perilous and careless times, and there's a lot of payback out there. And tonight I hope I'll share some of the payback with you that's coming. This isn't speculation. It isn't guessing. It's not listening into the horse manure, people. Well, what's really going on? I'll tell you what's going on. I'm giving it to you right now with the calling of all the guard from around the world. That is the highest risk meeting ever held in the history of USA. And by the way, when President Trump, Vice President Vance, and also the Speaker of the House were all at Charlie Kirk's memorial service, That was a breach in protocol. Go ahead, Doug.
I'm glad you mentioned that. Look, and I spoke about this earlier too. A lot of people, a lot of platforms, whoever you follow, whoever you listen to, God bless you and God bless them. Okay. But here's my problem. You look at something like that, Steve. Okay. And then you look at what happened with President Trump at the UN on the escalator, and everyone's saying, damn people, running the escalator, how dare them? Wait a second. What's the issue here? The issue is the security of the president of the United States. And when you look at that, you look at the film, you got a bunch of these Secret Service agents, just grabbing their Johnsons and just kind of looking around. All right. People don't realize that this, and as a matter of fact, I said the other day, London Times, they spoke about this, the UN shutting down the escalator. They spoke about that in the London Times on Sunday, published that. So you're exactly right. And I think, please, people, everyone listening, look, I don't know much, okay, but I do know this. We have to think bigger. And Steve is in that realm. So go ahead, sir.
Well, and again, there's a good example of it. This teleprompter didn't work. Ladies and gentlemen, here is the bottom line. This is the highest risk meeting room and globally advertising it. And here is the question then becomes, what is so vital that it must be done face-to-face as an entire group and not smaller blocks of the brass of meetings. Good night. We got all the high-tech, super-sized screens, the Pentagon's, a war room, you know, all this stuff going on, situation room. Well, I got to tell you, we're in deep situation problems right now, and I would say situation is spelled with an H in front of the I. So it's important that let's talk about the ideas that are out there. And this is critical. Please pay attention. And Doug, stop me at any point and ask for further explanation.
Okay.
So what is so vital that it must be done face-to-face as an entire group? Now, is it a detailed question about World War III, war with Russia, war with China, war with Iran, war with Mexico, and war with Venezuela? Those are all declared coming fields of battle. And I want everyone to ask themselves this. How can we fight any of them when we're out of gunpowder, out of a war-based economy? Our industry, our war industry, doesn't exist. We can't even produce enough howitzer shells compared to, you know, that basically go through in the Ukraine. They go through literally thousands of them a month. And we're basically saying we're going to take on all these people. Now, or is it this, the meeting, and I want everyone to think this through, for all the brass, is to question their loyalty. And ladies and gentlemen, everything in the world, I mean, even these guys who think they're on a secure communication channel, that's a joke, okay? My position in this whole talk radio, podcast, broadcast world is I am not of the impression that I can stop World War III. I am of the impression that I'm buying time by the grace of God, that I want everybody that can come to Jesus to know Jesus. And ladies and gentlemen, now the slander against Erica Kirk, the slander against everybody who stands for Jesus is going full bore. Listen, the Antichrist is in place of Jesus Christ, but they hate the truth. And the left is getting ready to go for total blood, total warfare. And when you've got some little snip, I have another word, but I can't use it, telling everybody that's on the left, take out the guillotines. It's time that we start using them against the right. That's a real story. It's time to get serious. Because, Doug, you know, you and I get furious because there's so few getting serious. My definition of getting serious, standing up for what's right, holding those political polecats, both on the right and on the left. And by the way, just two sides of a crappy coin. You know, I mean, I've never seen such block, 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 you know, poop in the politics as I've seen just in the last maybe month or two. So that's my chicken imitation. So it's how about this, you guys? Are they going to be told, and if they don't admit to it, they're going to be fired? Is it that the military brass is going to be told that they must enforce martial law against American citizens if commanded by the commander-in-chief, the president? Now, don't think that's far off, because, again, we're under a civil war. And, Doug, will you read the title for tonight's show? Because I think it might help people to understand the difference of you know, give them the title and then.
Okay. Now, this is Steve's title because it obviously he's setting the theme for tonight with the information that he's got. So this is the title. The screams of hate will turn into the roar of war. Catchy? Yeah. Is it true? Yep. I believe that to be the case. Now, what that looks like, though, Steve, and I'm going to ask you this. What that looks like is obviously subject to interpretation, but about this meeting of the military might, shall we say, and you mentioned, could it be to test loyalty if they would enact martial law? Man, I've got a problem with that. Look, I got no problem with loyalty to the Constitution, but do you think the entirety of the flag officers, the brass, would even entertain such a thought? I'm just asking. That is a question to you, sir.
That's a fair question. When you have aircraft carriers crashing into civilian ships because they're having a drag queen show, you know, it used to be all hands on deck. I won't go with what we talked about.
Now it's all hands on deck. Okay. Telling her it has been under, or it was under Biden.
Yeah, and
go ahead.
So here's the question. How many of the flag officers, how many of the, you know, the brass, so to speak, were basically working behind the scenes to overthrow the president of the United States? Now, if anybody thinks I'm off on some tangent, remember that the former head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Mark Milley, raised up a lot of these, quote, flag officers under him. Okay. He is the only man in history in such a high position that committed the absolute constitutional definition of treason. He told the Chinese that President Trump, under his first presidency, was going to, he was talking about a preemptive strike on China. Well, so, ladies and gentlemen, the people that are coming in, I don't know, Doug. These are things that I'm being told are the possibilities of what's going to go on there. But I will tell you this. President Trump has learned from all the treason, all the treachery, and all of the lies. Ladies and gentlemen, there's not one person in the intelligence community that told the truth, and they all swore false affidavits. They all lied when they were questioned. Not one of them told the truth. Didn't matter which three-letter agency, didn't matter who they were representing. And I want to make this clear. There is no identifiable deep state. It's not like, oh, there's a pile of salt water in a freshwater lake. The whole lake is the deep state. And you can change the head of any of the intelligence agencies. You can change whoever you want. But look at what's going down. Again, Comey is, it's right that he be indicted, but he's little league compared to the overt treason of the former head of the, let's face it, the CIA. The former head of the NSA, all these people absolutely signed on to affidavits saying the Steele dossier was real. And notice this, too. How many of our gutless, spineless, blob-like mainstream media mavens even thought about, wait a minute, why are they always blaming Russia? And you've got this Joint Chiefs of Staff who's going crazy telling the Chinese. And wait a minute, didn't Australia have a rundown of how many of our politicians were on the payroll? So these are some of the things you better be asking yourself. And again, This is really important. This is the highest ranking and highest risk meeting, actually high ranking and risk meeting, ever to be held in modern history, because bombing the meeting would literally decapitate the USA leadership.
Now, it would. And look, I don't know. I'm not a military guy. I don't have military contacts anymore. You do. I don't. To me, not the. Would I do something like that? Probably not, because the exposure, the vulnerability that presents. Are we inviting something like that to happen? Are we daring? Is this like the Pearl Harbor where you line up the ships really nice and say, come on. Well, you know, is that what that is?
With all the terrorist organizations, with the technology available to them, I think this is, look, I've never been in the military. I know a lot of guys have. I know generals over the years, and I'm not bragging, but I'm just telling you, God always, he's faithful to provide the people to tell me what I need to know, to basically pass on to the people that need to hear or are willing to hear. And ladies and gentlemen, I hope you hear what Doug is saying. I know, and he knows, our time in whatever our respective cases are running out. And somebody sent me an email saying, well, I wish you wouldn't talk that way. Why? Because it's a reality check, and people, and I want to ask you this, okay? All of the things we've covered, the books Doug's written, the actual operations with Russ Dizdar's team, all the things we've done behind the scenes are basically we can't even trust people on this, this podcast broadcast, because sure enough, we know who listens to this podcast broadcast. I'm telling you, most people would go, why would they listen? Because we tell them stuff, and I've heard it multiple times. You guys, especially in our private briefings, this was directed at me, you give better intel briefings than we get. And what I give is open source intel headlines. But you know what? Most people don't even read the headlines. And Eric, let me ask you to put up Martin Armstrong's headline, because we're going to talk about World War III. It's underway now. It's underway now. And we came what they call a scotch away, just a very close place when the Russian fighters, you know, were basically waving at the NATO fighters. And who's going to flinch first? I guarantee it won't be the Russians. I guarantee it. And how can
please, thank you for that. Okay, so in that same, while Eric's getting that, in that same vein, President Trump just lit up the UN. He also this week really made some pretty decent slaps against NATO, verbal slaps. So would the Russians or the Chinese or either one, would they recognize our general disdain with NATO right now? And is that disdain real, or does President Trump have this allegiance to NATO, even though his words say otherwise? Go ahead, sir.
Well, I'm on record, so I'm just telling everybody the nice thing of about being a podcaster, broadcaster, it's recorded. I said years ago, NATO was toast. Okay, I said NATO will fall apart at the seams. Why? Because number one, the United States has been footing the bills, and number two, this is interesting, all of the nuclear war rhetoric and the name calling that's been going on. I mean, you can take the British press and everything they say, they're always slamming President Putin. They're always slamming former President Medvedev. And they're always taking apart the words of, Foreign Minister Lavrov. By the way, he is one of the smartest men historically to ever occupy his position. And we can't even see between the captured conversation to blame Russia. So what they're doing, Doug, and I want to remind everybody, years ago, maybe it's decades now, I shared everything with the people of any audience I could get on. And, in those days, I was on a lot of shows. That's not bragging. Again, I'm saying it's not bragging, but, I guess I had something to say and offer. The letter I, as in India, identify, the V as in vilify, V as in Victor, N as in basically, IVND, and the N was
nullify.
Yeah, I'm sorry, my own statement, and the D was destroy. India, Victor, November, December. Do you remember hearing me say that all the time?
Of course. And you were saying that that really ever since I met you back in the late 21st century. I mean, I heard you on talking with Art Bell, and I still have the cassette tape here. It tells you how long ago that was, saying the exact same thing, and as well as more. But you have been a pioneer in that, and that's what's happening right now. I mean, it's a whole. And by the way, it's kind of to associate with that, I mentioned yesterday in the day, or yesterday I think it was, on this platform where Jim Jordan published this statement about Google censorship, YouTube censorship. So, they admitted to the censorship. Now, here's my problem with this. So I said, you know what? If you're on YouTube, people with messages like yours, like mine. So you go from Rumble, the freedom platform, and you go back to YouTube, Because why? Because, well, they reach a broader audience. They've got it. So, okay, you do that. And I said, look, that's like Lucy, Charlie Brown in the football. Yep. So what happens today? Nick Fuentes, hey, look, think of what, I don't care what you think of Alex Jones. They said, okay, we'll sign back up. Yeah, that lasts about 24 hours. And it's only going to get worse. So yes, that nullification, that's exactly right. And if they can't nullify you effectively, they will destroy you. Yep. Thank you, sir.
Yep. And Doug, thanks for laying that out. Because, ladies and gentlemen, we know that formula personally. We're not grandstanding. We're not trying to be something other than what God has called us to be. And yet, I will be nice, Steve. I'm just telling myself.
Look, you're not going to hurt my family. I mean, you unleash, man. I'll tell you what. Steve Quayle is one of the classiest guys I know. But boy, I'll tell you what, when he gets going, man, look, you want to be like far away from that. Go ahead, sir.
Well, you know, I want to wash not only my mouth out with soap, but I want Jesus to wash my heart out with soap, because out of a good treasure comes heart. And I want to tell you something. I have had more people complain about certain words. I don't need to tell them. The point is, it's so frustrating, because where were you, critic, when all the children were being slaughtered? Where were you, critic, when all the children were being sold into white slavery? Where were you, you know, our critics, when basically you would use fake names like Defender of God or the Sniveling Coward's Favorite Retreat, Mouthpiece of the Lord, Prophet of the Lord? And I told them, and I'm sorry, but I say this, I said, I have more respect for what's on the floor of a chicken coop than I do for you guys that are nameless, okay? And you know, I mean, here's the thing. If we don't stand up, and we haven't, Doug, and that's why we're getting ready and we're facing World War III. It's not that it's in the future. And if Eric could put up Martin Armstrong, look, Martin Armstrong's a very gifted and bright man. And this is Martin Armstrong, and it was about 2 days ago. Trump just gave the green light for World War III.
Eric would
scroll down for the first paragraph. And Doug, if you want to read that.
I'm not sure I can see that. Hang on just a second.
You can't. I mean, that's okay. But I can read it if you can't, you know.
Okay, I got it now.
This is Martin Armstrong.
And thank you, Eric. My preview monitor is like 10 seconds behind. All right, so President Trump is a great disappointment. Now, this is quoting Martin Armstrong. He has just given the green light for World War III. This is the end of Western civilization as we have known it. I've screamed as loud as I can, but those in Washington want to make sure Trump only listens to the neocons who are out to destroy Russia. And they will find that China will never allow Russia to fall because, and they told Callis to her face, they know they will be next. So do you want me to stop there?
Well, I think this is good. And then, Eric, if you'll put up the other one, because, listen, Martin Armstrong, people said, well, why don't you, there you go, Trump surrenders a neocon, Bolton 1. People have asked Martin Armstrong, why don't you go and talk to president? Well, number one, he wouldn't listen. But again, Doug, read the first paragraph, maybe two. Trump surrenders to the neocons, Bolton 1. And this is disturbing, okay?
This is worthy of a read. Again, this is Martin Armstrong's words. And by the way, while I'm waiting for that to sync up, thank you, Steelers mom. We appreciate the prayers, especially for RT. I will make sure he's taken care of on that. Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay. God bless you. Now, question. I heard you on a podcast say you would meet with Trump if asked. If that could be arranged, would you do it? The answer. I seriously doubt that the powers that be in D.C. will ever allow me to get close to Trump. I will be suicided if I step if I step foot close to the White House. The neocons have completely compromised Trump. I'm very disappointed, to say that, to say the least. The computer has never been wrong. He is being lied, or he's being led by the nose to take us into World War III.
Next paragraph or next.
Okay. All right. Hang on. And I have to say this: there is a serious problem at the White House. Next paragraph, Eric the Tech. Okay, NATO countries still tapping Russian oil and gas. Is that what you want?
No. This is total BS. That Nikon.
Oh, okay. I got it. So if you want me to read that, all right. This is the total BS that neocons put out. Sanctions. This strategy has never worked, and Trump is following their direction. By the way, that's a very true statement about sanctions if you go back to World War II, but I digress. Okay. Cutting off buying energy from Russia will not stop the war. The end goal is always the same: hurt the Russian people so much that they will rise up and overthrow their government and then have a ticker tape parade and pin the highest medals on Cheney, Dick Cheney, John Bolton, Bill Kristol, Tony Blinken, Victoria Nuland. Steve, you're punishing me. I got to read this? Okay. There you go.
Read that last one.
All right. Russia might as well push the button, because there's absolutely no way the West will ever accept Russia, no matter what. They're only interested in conquering Russia and stripping it of all its assets. Sorry. I'm not sure I would even want to waste my time talking to Trump. He's going down the wrong path, or the path of a warmonger that everyone voted against. The neocons have won. Period. To you, sir.
Well, !! Somebody said, well, what's your favorite punctuation mark? I said !! Because, it ends a sentence. You put 3, 5, or 7, you're making an emphasis on that. Now, here's the critical issue. Basic logic and sequential thinking should have told President Trump that all the slander against President Putin, against Dmitry Medvedev, and against Lavrov. I don't know anybody who's tried to stop World War III. I've never heard President Putin treat or threaten or, basically be a bully to any of the world leaders. But in essence, the time to call, and this was what Trump called President Putin, a paper tiger. I got news for you. That's the most, how should I say this, non-realistic statement. And, here's the thing. All of us who are in the gold business, and I've been in the gold business 40 years, maybe now, I'm sorry, 50 years. The point being is that President Putin's the one that launched the gold when he put a $50 per gram, 50 U.S., and gold was set, the price of gold was set at $1,600 an ounce. Well, today, Doug, we're approaching 4,000 at 3850, but our 38, the futures are usually 50 to 100 bucks ahead. And silver, we're at an all-time high on that. Not all-time, but we're approaching the all-time.
Yeah, if you take the Hunt Brothers crap out of it. Yeah. Now, let me ask you a quick question, because I was going to ask you this the last time you brought this up. What does the Putin's actions to pin $50 per gram, what does that action, or what did that action do in terms of the price of gold? Can you explain that?
Sure, I will. Real simply, first of all, any other country in around the world that doesn't use the U.S. dollar, they buy in their local currencies. For instance, in Japan, gold is priced in Japanese yen. In China, it's priced in the yuan. In Russia, in the rubles. At the official price of gold now in the United States, still sits at somewhere around 42, 45 bucks an ounce. But wait, there's more. Total transparency. Yep, the minute Fort Knox was going to be audited, I am told there was a secret meeting, and the people that met with President Trump begged him not to do it. Why? There's no gold in Fort Knox. And the fact that he telegraphs that, I'm going to go to Fort Knox, he should have just flown Air Force One in. It's a military base, you know, landed at the thing, gone. He's the president of the United States, and said, I want to see the gold. So it's important, Doug, to recognize what President Putin did was break the stranglehold of the official price of gold in the United States, and he put it into the fair market price of around the world, okay? In other words, you can see gold at $3,600, $3,700 an ounce in the U.S., and it can be, you know, 4,000 different places around the world. And the futures market just means that the investors and those who are dealing in the, dealing in the paper gold market, which I don't recommend, exchange-traded funds, and same thing with silver. They only have promissory IOUs. And you know what the old statement is? An IOU is worth the paper it's written on, which is worthless. Obviously, we can look at Germany. We can look at Zimbabwe, where it used to be a shilling. Or I think in Rhodesia, it used to be a shilling equal to about $1 of ours per egg. And finally, eggs went up to something like some ridiculous amount, like $1 billion, Zimbabwe dollars. So we're watching right now the depreciation of the U.S. dollar. The two
is a debt. Huh? I don't mean to interrupt you. I mean, this is essentially worthless. This is nothing more than an IOU. It's not worth really the linen it's printed on, right? So, okay, I'm tracking you in terms of the gold issue. So, continue, please.
Well, and then you hold the dollar bill up, and if you look at purchasing power, since, you know, you can go back to 1920s, and, you know, that's worth, I think, a sub-nickel, less than 5 cents, compared to the official dollar when a dollar was a dollar, you know? And now we're watching, and we're watching the devaluation of U.S. currency, and for the record, the rest of the world is going to, under Operation Sandman, is going to repudiate the dollar at some point in the same day. And so I want everyone to recognize this. What do you do? And I'll run through it. What do you do when your credit cards don't work? What do you do when the banks won't give you any money? Oh, and by the way, we just watched Thailand tie up 3 million customers' bank accounts. In essence, everything that those bank accounts represented in personal wealth, personal assets, guess what? The people just lost whatever the total and composite balance in those accounts were. And that's called a bank bail-in. But actually, it's called grand theft. It isn't grand theft auto. It's grand theft in your pocket. So I want people to recognize something. So you go and you think, well, I'm going to go get some bucks out of a cash machine. We're sorry, sir, our cash machine is broken, or whatever stupid message they put up. You go to the bank, and you find out we have a directive. We can't release any cash right now. And maybe the doors are closed. Then you try everything you know, checks, anything you might have, anything in paper, anybody's IOUs, and they're...
Hello? Is this thing on? Steve, I think you froze up, if you can hear me. Eric, Tech, Dave froze up.
They come to a point where they're worthless. Yep, I'm frozen, I guess.
Okay, now you're
what?
Okay.
Isn't it amazing? Okay, well, I was going to say, yeah, guess who shuts me down on what subjects? And again, I'm looking at my internet connection. It's not faltering. So the point that I want...
Exhibit A in the he's frozen up again. Steve, just hang tight there for a second. Eric, I don't know if we have to reestablish a connection with him or not. Your call.
Here I am again.
There you are.
Hey. Yeah, and I mean, we just lost the Zoom connection. The AI programs are working overtime. They are working overtime. And so, ladies and gentlemen, I'll just leave it like this. If you can't hold it in your hand, what's an ounce of silver worth if you can buy a farmer's cow at, you know, or half a beef at, let's say, 10 silver pieces when silver's, $500 an ounce, 50, actually $100 an ounce. And all of these prognostications and all of the projections. I mean, Bill Holzer showed if you just take the amount of gold that the U.S. is supposed to have, divided into 37 point whatever trillion, that puts gold at $137,000 an ounce. That's a lot of money. And so, again, Doug, you know, when you think of an ounce of gold, what the panic bankers are doing is saying, I want people to understand this. They're trying to convince the whales. A whale is not something that swims in the sea. It is the investors that live in the billionaire atmosphere who have lines of credit, let's say $50 billion. They're trying to get them to buy paper gold. And so they'll say to Doug Hagman, I'm just making this up, of course, Doug, I'm going to give you $100 million up front if you'll buy $1 billion worth of our ETF gold. And what we're going to do is we're going to discount it from 3,700 to 3,000. And we're going to give you 2 years to let the gold go through the roof. Except one thing, they take what they're going to give you, subtract it from what you gave them, and they run away with your money. And I've watched it in my own eyes, in my own business career, where that's happened. I think it was International Gold and Bullion Exchange. And man, they got away in those days, and this was like 20, 30 years ago, and they got away with $500 million. You know how much that was then? And I think everybody, you know, forgets about that. And then I won't name names because it's not fair. Then one of the most pronounced Christian newsletter writers went to prison along with his son for basically selling fake gold paper you have on deposit with blah blah blah. I'm not mocking, I'm just telling everyone. And here's the principle. No one can do a better job than you of having control of your possessions if you're prayerful, if you're careful, and you do a basic understanding and go through a basic research and understanding of history. So now we've got, you know, we've got the most, how should I say this, dangerous, perilous, and we're at world war. See, that's the thing that, you know, when I wake up multiple times, I sleep, you know, a couple hours here and there through the night. But when I wake up, that's what's on my mind, you know, and that's when I pray, Lord, how do I communicate effectively as to the lateness of the hour and the danger of the hour? So then the devil floats some guy claiming, I'm sorry, I have zero respect for him. He's still trying to make excuses. He needs to apologize to the world at large, because the world at large, including the London Daily Mail, made the statement, Christians are looking for the rapture coming tomorrow. This was a day before yesterday. And the, how do I say this? The mea culpa of the rapture didn't happen. I watched that in 1988, which was, 37 years ago, with a guy named Edward Wiesenthal. And the 88 reasons why, this is real, 88 reasons why Jesus is going to come in 1988. I think he published a book in 87. And when it didn't happen, he said, oh, my calculations are off. So finally, you know, obviously I said, look, Jesus said, no man knows the hour, not even the sun. And Jesus said, I don't know it, but these guys know it. You know, and again, I'm talking about the second coming of Jesus Christ, but I have people, you know, I know, that don't get it, that there's stuff that has to take place based on Daniel's 42 months times time and a half before Jesus can come. So the imminent, Jesus is going to come tomorrow, Brother Doug. And just because that may be the case, I want your new car, because you will be going with the Lord, and I got some things I got to work out in my life. You think that's crazy? There was a major ministry, I won't tell you who, but was on one of the biggest Christian channels, that for, I don't know, was a $5,000 donation to this ministry. My brother Doug, I'm going to sell you a Brioni. I believe that's what Brioni's a great Italian designer, got great suits. Years and years ago, when I was backslidden, I actually wore suits. But the point is, I was backslidden. But the point is, I'm not saying you're backslidden if you wear suits, but in my case, that's the period of my life I wore them. Because again, you could give a certain ministry $5,000 and you get a signature edition of you ready? Your ascension robes. Now that's nice work if you can find it. Get 1,000 gullible people and you just made $5 million. But wait, there's more. Every time there's some futile attempt to extort money from God's people, it's always the mega ministries. I don't see them out hitchhiking on the road, traveling evangelists will work for free ride, Instead, I see, well, the man of God, he's got to get where he's got to get. And by the way, this isn't a certain minister by the name of Creflo or Cashflow. This is a gentleman who has to go back and forth from the East to the West Coast because of the important message that he has every Sunday. Do you know how much that costs in jet fuel? I mean, that's a lot of money. But you got to give, Doug, you got to give the man of God, because a man of God needs to pray at 51,000 feet. To my knowledge, there's no private jets certified to that altitude, But in essence, it's always higher and faster.
But
And
don't you
so.
think that, Steve, don't you think that enough people are waking up to the fact that those are money-grubbing,
Parasites.
thank you. Yeah, that's a nice way to put it. Yeah, I mean.
The answer to that is no, or they couldn't even be on TV still. And how is it that braggarts on TV? Look, it's the same thing we watch in the technocrats. A technocrat is a technological hypocrite. Good example, in my opinion, look at what Peter Thiel said today. And Eric, if you would put that up, please. It was the one where he's talking about the Antichrist. Anybody that resists surveillance is basically in cahoots with the devil, because God is on the side of total surveillance. Eric, do you know which one that was? There it is. Doug, read this. This is scarier than hell.
Well, interesting turn of phrase there, Steve. Okay, this is from the London Times. Regulating AI hastens the Antichrist. Okay, so holy cow, regulating AI hastens the Antichrist, says Palantir's Peter Thiel. Tech billionaire claims in a lecture about religion that the devil promises peace and safety by strangling technological progress with regulation. Hang on a second. I just had to think about that statement. All right. One of the world's most powerful technological or technology leaders has reportedly warned that regulating AI risks hastening the coming of the Antichrist. Okay, I gotta let that sink in for a second. All right. Okay. You got that, everyone? Okay. Peter Thiel, the conservative billionaire who co-founded Palantir, the data analytics group, and PayPal, the payments operator, is said to have made the comments during a lecture delivered in warehouse, but San Francisco this week. Thiel, a former donor to Donald Trump and mentor to J.D. Vance, the vice president, said that fearing or regulating promising technology and scientific progress, including AI, risk courting the devil, according to the Wall Street Journal, which cited people who attended the event. Wow, people actually believe this? Okay.
Yeah, and what's interesting, the title is so oxymoronic, okay, in my opinion. Regulating AI hastens the Antichrist, says Palantir's Peter Thiel. And what they're saying is this, that if you resist AI, you're helping in essence, you're helping the devil. But if you go along with AI, you're going along with God. This is really, how should I say this? If you want to see, in my definition, a headline that's so seductive and so compelling and so evil, these are my words, in the ramifications, you couldn't get one bigger than this. Now, Palantir is named for, you know, one of Tolkien's books, you know, and the enemy Sauron and the eye of Sauron. In essence, Sauron was an individual who represented the devil, and he could see everything, and he could, you know, you could see the future, you can see all this stuff. But remember, ladies and gentlemen, God gave free will. And I will say this, from an inside view of AI, from entities in the world of quantum AI, parallel universes, the entities mock the humans for increasingly and accelerating their own destruction and their own annihilation. And that's one of the benefits of getting, you know, and I'll make a spiel for it. There's nothing like it in the world. Our Glyph Report, there's nothing like it in the world. And so this is how, this is why Google shut down their Willow and Sycamore chip, because when they were looking for parallel universes, they found them, and they didn't like the ancient symbols, they didn't like the entities, they didn't like mythological creatures, they didn't like biblical mention, and they didn't like the fact that cosmic conscience showed intelligent creation in the universe. Because remember, almost all these people are either agnostic, I would say total atheists, or outright Luciferians. Not all of them, but they paid the price to inhabit those that rarefied earth of being, you know, the richest guy on the planet, or the second, or the third. But what's problematic, everyone, is that now you've got a man who claims to be a Christian, and he claims to be talking more about the Antichrist and the system than any preacher in any pulpit in America. I can guarantee it. He's got a microphone. He's got big bucks. I'm not jealous of it, but I'm just telling you. They step up to the pump. They, the technological billionaires with their money, and they will fund anything that is anti-God, and they'll make it sound like they're doing God a favor. And Eric, if you could put that one picture of Peter Thiel up where he's, there you go. And Doug, this is interesting. This is the Illuminati sign of the Eye of Horus, if you will.
Yeah, this, I mean, that's normal. Yeah. That's normal. That's a normal picture everywhere. Yeah.
And so if you ever see movie stars that are outright Satanists, if you ever see cosmetic, always look for the one eye, you know, one eye blind. If you look for somebody who just got that, you know, that hell kicked out of their eye, why were all these people coming with black eyes? Okay, well, that's the darkening of their eye towards God. That's an act of allegiance to the evil one. Okay, you look that up. And by the way, it's on the back of the dollar bill to the pyramid. Yeah. You know, so I want people to recognize something. We're in now a biblically prophetic time frame that the mouthpieces are taking over the conversation. And to my knowledge, Doug, and you know better than I, and I'm not putting something on you, but people believe that because Mr. Thiel is talking about the Antichrist, that he must be one of us. Yet he claims to be a Christian, yet his own confession of his proclivities would rule him out based on Romans 1. He's an openly gay man. That's not an accusation. That's his words. So what does this happen?
Wait. Thiel is?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. All right. I guess. Okay. How can you... No, I'm just trying to process the fact that at that level, Steve, you can engage in that behavior and then speak about, again, at that level, the multi-gazillionaire, whatever level, and having the influence that he has, that you can actually engage in that behavior and talk about the threat of the Antichrist. Boy, that just doesn't work for me. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, it shouldn't, Doug, because basically everything you know is, and everything I know is based biblically on, you know, the book of Revelation, the Antichrist, you know, the man of the son of perdition. And again, the thing that is so perplexing is there are people that believe he's a follower of Jesus. Now, I want to give everybody a big clue. If they never name the name of Jesus, oh, they'll talk about Christians until they're blue in the face. If they haven't repented of their sin, and if they have repented of their sin, they got to give up certain things and certain hallmarks. And I'm not judging. That's the book of Romans, the first chapter. And so what we're talking about is having even the biblical context of the Antichrist being usurped by some of its most provocative and outspoken servants, okay? Because whom you yield yourselves to, you become. I'm told, I don't know everything went on, but I'm told that the Antichrist term was used, and I'm trying to get more info from the people that will give it to me, on did they ever hear the name Jesus Christ, and did they ever see any call for repentance? Because remember, ladies and gentlemen, he's telling you that we're going to see the Antichrist, but he's not telling you, and he should just say this, to be honest, and by the way, I'm building his total surveillance system for him. That's what he should say, because that's what the headlines are telling us. So why is this critical at this time? You can never count on the truth to ever be told to the American people under any circumstances by the powers that be. Never, never, never. Maybe once, 40, 50 years ago, when one of the military generals, that would have been 70 years ago, Smedley Butler, was talking about the military-industrial complex. But now, again, fast forward to next week, with the only time in history that the brass, military brass, all departments of our defense, and also the admirals are coming in for a sit-down. And it's the most, how should I say this? It's the most obvious, in my opinion, presentation of the greatest target of opportunity for any terrorists, for any orchestrated payback team, like the Iranians, they're in this country, like the Chinese, they're in this country. There's so many people that want to basically destroy the country. Courtesy, in my opinion, of all the left. And I want everyone to recognize this. This whole racial strife, nation against nation, was initiated, it was fomented, and it was watered by Barack Obamanation of desolation. You can see it. You can see the race wars are already being, sides are being taken. Oh, and Doug, did you see that? Louisiana and a couple of southern states, they took down, the internet, and they took down communications. So what's that all about? Well, simple, ladies and gentlemen, that in the South to the liberal left is the armpit of perdition, but those southern boys know how to fight. And I'm not putting down the southern boys, but I'm telling you that there is a plan to make war on the southern states like most people can't even imagine. The only reason I can know is because, Steve, look at all these guns going into certain groups. Look at all these appropriations for billions of rounds of ammo. Look at all the stuff that's going into Chicago. And then you get the Chicago mayor, talking about he hates law enforcement. And now we've got ICE,
Customs Enforcement.
Yeah, Customs Enforcement. Thank you, Doug. You're having those guys be targets of opportunity. And you cannot fight a war when you restrain yourself and they provoke you. So, ladies and gentlemen, the first shots of the Civil War have been fired. And then I want to say to you this. If you see an economic collapse, if you see the fast food restaurants close, if you see no money available, what is the reasonable expectation of what once used to be known as civilization? Well, I got news for you today. What a gang of hooded hoods broke into a jewelry store and stole $1 million worth of gems. A $1 million. And so now it's what you have is mine, what I have is mine, and what you have, Doug, I'm going to take from you because, you know, you owned slaves, 100 years ago, and you go, man, I've never been around the slave market. And then people who accuse whites like Hillary, listen, why isn't she in jail? Because, you know, why isn't she? Because she's blaming everything on white Christian men.
I played that clip, that 43-second clip. Folks, you can check the show notes. I think it was from the day before yesterday. But I could not, well, I couldn't believe it. But for that to go unchallenged, Steve, the fact that she would say essentially that the scourge of all modern civilization, especially here in the U.S., is the white Christian male. And I'm paraphrasing, but
no, that's what she said. She said the white Christian male.
Man.
So, you know,
I'm like you. I'm rather speechless on that because here's and I said this week too. You know, we are here because of tolerance, and tolerance when we were younger, when we were very young, was a benchmark of civility, and now it's been twisted into a reason or an excuse for moral surrendering up everything that's godly. So here we are. Go ahead.
Well, I've heard I won't do my chicken call again, but I've heard the dumb clucks say, well, we have to, we hate this. We hate the sin, but don't hate the sinner. No, but you have to call them out and saying, you know, whoever is doing what, you can call yourself a Christian, but, you know, I like the statement. It wasn't original to me, but one of the evangelists 50 years ago said, look, a mouse in a cookie jar isn't a chocolate chip cookie. And the whole thing is that why the hatred of the white race? Why? Well, you know, in essence, people have got to understand. They have to ask that question. I have no white guilt. You know, none whatsoever. None whatsoever. And the reason why I don't is because I've never made the race the issue until they made it an issue. People say, well, you're a racist. I said, no, I'm a realist. I say, do you know the history of slavery? And they can't even tell you about the Irish brought to the United States. They can't even tell you about the Arabs were the biggest slave traders in the world.
And many of the blacks were owners. In fact, the kind of the first or the stronghold of slavery, the blacks owned the slaves. And look, you can check your history. I'm not going to do the research, but there it is. Go ahead.
Well, here's the thing. When you have ignorant, now we have ignorant young people that will look at ChatGPT or Grok. When I say Grok's a crock and not a dial, when you're talking about the impetus to quit thinking and giving your power unto the beast, you know, what's the purpose of a college education? Well, they used to teach, you know, people to be engineers, scientists, industrialists. I mean, real business degrees, not degrees in sandbox, you know, architecture. I'm literally... social tolerance or all of the bogus reasons. Look at what's happening to colleges, ladies and gentlemen. They're sewage pits, especially the poison ivy schools. And look at what they do. Under the guise of higher education, they've brainwashed, they've warped more college graduates than any other single organization. Then you get the NEA, National Education Association, and all those. And Doug, what they're doing is they're poisoning the mind of our youth. And look at the work ethic. You know, people think, well, I want to have a, I don't know what it's called, an account where I take off my clothes if I'm a woman, and, OnlyFans, you know. And I saw one girl, she was interviewed, and it wasn't in her dress or out of her dress, but she was saying, I make millions of dollars a year. Okay.
Man, and Steve, feel free to punch up to promote your OnlyFans page right here, right now on the Hagman Report. Yeah, no, to me, again, there's that perversity. Years ago, when we were young, that behavior was recognized as destructive, not just to the person, but to society in general, for all that is good. And the chastity, the self-restraint that was once in existence is gone now. And so, but I want to go back to something. I want to ask you a question. You said something about the war, the civil war, essentially, the war in which we find ourselves here domestically against one another. You said something about the southern states, okay? About the north. Could you expand on that a little bit? Because I kind of wasn't sure how you are
Well, what
couching
I
that.
was saying is the communication is being cut to the three states, Louisiana, what was it, Georgia, and Mississippi. And so that's the heart of the South. But there's also indications that the powers that be, the leftists, want to initiate civil war in the heart of the South. And look at all of the weather warfare attacks that are on Florida. Look at all the weather war attacks that are on Texas. And again, ladies and gentlemen, as someone who wrote about chemtrails when most people didn't know what they were, who wrote about weather warfare when most people would just poo-poo anything that was truth. And now, Doug, we still have buffoons, not baboons. The baboons are in Washington, but the buffoons are people that refuse to investigate. And here's the catch-all. Well, I just don't believe it. So what do you believe? Seriously, when people say, "Well, I just don't believe it." I said, "Of course you don't believe, but tell me what you do believe." And we're watching right now, and that's why the title of the show is so important. We're watching full-scale nuclear encounters off whatever coast, whether it's Alaska, whether it's off, in the Baltic, is just one wrong decision away. Now, let's fast forward, and I hope we don't flash forward, meaning, as a mushroom cloud, to what's going on in Poland. Look, again, ladies and gentlemen, Poland wanted to call Article 4, and you just tell everybody, look, we think we're at risk. I'm simplifying it, but we think we're at risk to go to war. The minute anybody in NATO declares Article 5, I can tell you what's going to happen. Because President Putin, the Russian spokesmen have said it, former President Medvedev said, look, if you guys think you're going to have a world without Russia, think again. And what is so astonishing to me is people have no understanding of nuclear war and nuclear protocol. They understand that, the president has somebody carrying the briefcase, okay, and the president wears a necklace and it's got a biscuit. All these confirmations have to take place. Yep, the Russians erect their missiles on the border and they're already set to fire. They don't need any command authorization because the military commanders in whatever area has the missiles are given autonomous or autonomous, what do I say, credentials to fire. So if we're sitting here picking fights, and there's no doubt in my mind, and look, I've spent so much time, and by the way, decades, everyone, seeing the benefit of civil defense, there is none in the United States, none whatsoever. And then all these, what I call the deep underground military bunker boys, they don't understand that none of their, none, N-O-N-E, none of their deep underground military bunkers can protect them from a 25 megaton nuclear weapon, and especially two of them right on top of each other. And people say, well, they can't get us. Well, my answer to that is, and neither will you be able to get out. So in essence, and I think people should know this. What was it, 3 or 4 days ago, the top brass that is, necessary in nuclear war protocols were all taken into the bunkers. Those are deep underground military bunkers. Black Hawk helicopters.
And I just learned this. This surprised me. Do you know the nuclear readiness exercise? Now, I might not have that exact. Do you know our government at the or the military aspect or part of our government, the people that are responsible for the button pushing? Do you know that they practice? They have those drills, nuclear drills, 3 times a day. Did you know? I didn't know that.
Let me say this. Yeah, they walk through the exercise, but here's the deal. Nobody, including the president, can just launch a nuclear weapon. There are safeguards in place because the people who are bright and developed the safeguards, we're talking 40 and 50 years ago, they worried about somebody, in essence, being able to break in or take over a nuclear weapon. Now, that's different than a dirty bomb in which you have a nuclear fissile material that has to be coded in. And, you know, you've all seen the codes where the digital timer is clicking down, somebody cuts the red wire or the blue wire. But it's much more sophisticated than that. And there are protocols. Here's the thing. I'm told the fastest we can get birds out, that's what they call them, you know, nuclear weapons is 5 to 7 minutes by the time all fail-safe is covered. Russia has made it clear, and they've demonstrated, they're 30 seconds and counting, okay? In essence, you know, they don't have to call, well, Mr. President, no, they're ready. And then they have what's called their dead hand, where if somebody were to strike the command, control, and communication center of Russia, that the missiles would all fire independently, and those are run by basically very smart algorithms. And even to go on there, you cannot build for war. And after 20 years, somebody said to me, how far behind do your sources say we are? I said, well, you want four-star generals? Do you want scientists who are nuclear scientists? 20 years. And as proof of that, when President Trump wanted to point somebody, the head of, maybe it was AI, they wouldn't take the job because they openly stated the Chinese are 20 years ahead of us. Ladies and gentlemen, if you saw the military parade in Washington, and you look at the military parade in North Korea, in Russia, in China, it should have been absolutely, obvious to everyone. You saw a lot of people disciplined and some pretty unusual drones or aircraft or new howitzers or whatever. Military parades are designed to be a psychological a foundation for people to say, man, look at all that stuff. Nobody's going to mess with us. It was a joke. Watching the American, because I think we could only get 3 aircraft, maybe 4. I'm willing to be corrected, but I turned it off. You know, celebrating whatever, 50 years. Look at that compared to the Chinese discipline. And, oh, by the way, I didn't see any Chinese soldiers, any Russian soldiers, or North Koreans wearing red parasols, high heels, and dressed as, drag queens, okay? I didn't see that. Now, this is critical. The people that are going to be meeting next week, a lot of them, especially in the Navy, are guilty of that. And I'm telling you point blank, you and I talked about it when the U.S. military under Biden went broke. They went woke and went broke. And we watched it happen, starting with actually Bill Clinton, don't ask, don't tell, you know, and then degenerating, oh, good word, from Obama and all of the, you know, how should I say this? Our military has been destroyed from within. And somebody, I made this offer. Look, I've never been in the military, but I know Russian weapon systems. I've never been in, any intelligence agency. I got a joke. Some guy said to me, "You CIA scum," and come on, you idiot. Problem is, I get to talk to people's the south end of a horse more than they get to talk to the north end of the horse, you know, and that's where that term came in. I'm dealing with a lot of horses' behinds, and obviously there's other words for it. But what I think is the most problematic thing, Doug, that we face tonight is to be able to articulate the danger we're in, you know? I don't know how to say it, except you're going to the OK Corral, and the guys you're going to get into the gunfight with, they have real guns, and you're going there with M16s with their muzzles plugged, like for war games, and you're going bang, 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 bang. And if people think that's crazy, we had a time where there was not enough training ammo for the military to use real rounds, okay? There wasn't. So, you know, I mean, that's not a terrorist training camp. Bang, 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 bang. And when you hear those things, your first response is, how could they do that? And my question to everybody tonight who's watching this program, where does the money come from to rebuild the military that was destroyed under, you know, pretty much three liberal presidents? And I'm not putting Trump in that. But even George Bush Sr. started it back when China was opened up, and China was given the neutron bomb by George Bush Sr. How do I know that? The man who invented the neutron bomb, Sam Cohen, was a frequent guest on my program when it was called the Q Files or whatever. Oh, not Q Files. I forget what it was called, but it's so many years ago. But he said he was present when the President of the United States handed over the neutron bomb plans to the Chinese. Do you remember that? I mean, you remember me talking about all that?
I do. And I remember the forum that you had. I mean, you were one of the, obviously you were one of the first. So how close, I mean, because you've been talking about this for a long time. So what has changed, we'll say, between or from your warnings maybe 12 months ago to today? What's changed? Because 12 months ago you said, hey, we're close. Now you're saying, hey, we're close, you know, a little
louder. Saying we're there. Okay.
We're there. Okay.
We're right. There. I think what's changed, Doug, is the madness of actions that we've taken. You know, I'm on record. We need to get out of Ukraine. I'm on record. We need to get out of NATO. It can serve no good purpose. And remember, NATO was designed to keep the Russians in check after World War II. And you know what else is interesting to me? I find it fascinating. People don't even understand that Russia's not a communist country anymore. But you look at the United States, well, we're turning into Marxism. No, we're hardcore communists. Look at George Soros' history, you know? He betrayed his own people. He's on record as, you know, being the wrecker, W-R-E-C-K-E-R, you know, and civil war. And this is the thing I've got to get across. Civil war starts out with words and ends up with bombs and bullets. And again, I would encourage people to look at Dmitry Dudeman, D-U-D-U-D-U-M-A-N, Hand of Help Prophecies, and see when he was given the vision, Romanian pastor, imprisoned, tortured, you know, and he didn't want to come to the United States, yet he shows up in the United States not speaking a word of English with a message to tell the American people. And this was like, you know, what, 40 years ago, 30, 40 years ago. I mean, it was a while ago. And now we're seeing everything in place. So to answer your question specifically, we are now in the time period, Doug, where what we warned would be future events are now present operations. Am I being clear enough? You cannot put a bunch of NATO fighters in the air. And by the way, they're F-35s, and the track record on F-35s is not a good one, okay? And, oh, because of the sanctions against China, there's not enough rare earths to basically finish the over 100 F-35s that are parked, kind of like a used car or even a new car, a parking lot. behind the manufacturers, whether it's Lockheed or whoever. In essence, we can't build. Now, when I say this, people say, well, you're a traitor. And I say, well, you're a dumbass, because it's not being a traitor to tell people this is the true fate. Because remember, magicians always use something to distract your perspective rather than let you see what's really going on. And what you do, Doug, and what I do is we try and stop the "you are getting sleepy." Well, you know, I mean, good night. We got a whole generation that's permanently put to sleep by all of the idiotic teaching from the universities. And look at the scumbags that are teaching our kids. Anybody who's got children in public education is really in trouble, unless it was a Christian school, a real Christian school, whether it was something that actually had American values and actually doesn't say to Jimmy, well, you know, Jimmy, I see feminine qualities in you, and I really think you were born a girl, but you're in a man's body. Well, here, call this doctor, and we'll call him Dr. Penis Hacker, okay? Dr. Penis Hacker, or call this doctor, Dr. Mary Butcher, no, Mary Breast Butcher, and then call this one Dr. Pharmadethical, okay? And they'll fix you right up. No civilized nation in history, I know history, has ever been as perverse as this one. And where in the blazes, and now I get pissed, where in the blazes were the true Christians, true, who believed it was wrong to slaughter these little ones? Jesus said it'd been better for them to never have been born, than the people doing it, than to cause these little ones to stumble. And you know, Jesus also said it'd been better if they'd never been born, but the millstone around their neck and tossed into the deepest sea. Well, I got to tell everybody, there are more millstone ministries. In other words, they're preparing people for damnation than redemption. And that's a powerful statement.
And that goes, that says a lot, because you can take the events of the last, I don't care however long. I mean, just think of what happened at the with Charlie Kirk, the venue that he was murdered at. Okay, so it's interesting because you've got a man speaking truth at an epicenter of indoctrination. So everything that you were talking about, the mutilation of children, the pushing, for example, of the perverse activity, you know, the furry stuff, the tranny stuff, and all, everything, every perverse thing, anti-God thing you can think of, he was in the belly of the beast and, of course, taken out for that. But it's interesting because the motive there should make clear of the enemy's objectives is to capture, to continue to capture the next generation. And everything that's biblical is under attack, Steve. And so there's that. And of course, the child trafficking that we have seen, or at least that rose under that, the O'Biden regime. It's everything is exploding and has exploded. So when Charlie Kirk was assassinated, murdered, I heard from a lot of people who said, I am so pissed off right now. I'm absolutely pissed off. But where are we today, Steve? With all of that, with all that righteous indignation, that righteous anger, where are we? What have we done to change, to challenge? And Steve, let me ask you, what can we do, or what do you suggest we do?
Well, the most important point, I'm sorry, Doug, I didn't mean to talk over you. The most important point to remember is that the left hates one thing more than anything, and one person more than anything, and that's Jesus. And the war is on Christians, and the war against Christians is taking on a whole new dimension. Charlie Kirk, in my opinion, was set up. And I don't know who the Blazes' security team was, but I can tell you this. There's a lot of fault, but the biggest fault that I've seen is that nobody, and even the guys who are tier one operators, Delta, all the really, you know, pro snipers for, you know, our team and stuff, our team meaning the U.S., and they said, why were not the roofs even looked at when there were people seeing those people on the roof before? I do not believe that the man blamed for shooting was the sole shooter of who killed Charlie Kirk. I just don't believe it. You and I spoke, I think, well, I don't know, last time we were together, last Thursday, about the fouling of the crime scene. No blood splatter evidence. To my knowledge, even the ballistics, the bullet has not been found. And look, I know a little bit about firearms. I used to own a couple indoor shooting ranges. I basically sold every legal weapon that you could sell, from 22s to 50 caliber Mod Deuces, belt-fed machine guns, M60s, the weapon of choice for whenever you see a really cool movie, even Rambo movies, that was one of Sylvester Stallone's favorite weapons. And you know, the thing is that those things leave a definite residue, and to my knowledge, I never heard of it, the powder being checked on the guy's hands, finding out he was in love with a furry. You know what the is that?
Yeah,
I know, but what it is. Okay,
but you know, okay, Steve. Again, with that, so the larger issue to me here with now we're talking about the homicide, the murder, the assassination of Charlie Kirk. You've got in power, in office right now, Kash Patel, the head of the FBI. You've got Dan Bongino. Okay, both of them had a relationship with Charlie Kirk, as well as a new, you know, person in the Department of Justice. And we are being still being lied to. Okay. We can talk, discuss the smaller, granular aspects of what happened on the ground and, you know, who was where and what angle. And but you know what? We're never going to get the truth. How can we actually discuss anything with any degree of certainty when, in fact, that information is being protected or not given out?
Correct.
Okay. And so, and my question ultimately is this. Steve, if we cannot depend on the people in power right now to give us the truth, what in the hell? I mean, really, help me understand this. If we can't get the straight answer, then what do we do? What is necessary for us? How do we correct this?
Can't. You can't.
Okay. All right.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to be blunt. You can't. We saw Dan Bongino, who I used to have a lot of respect for, to be honest with you. I didn't even know Kash Patel. And the thing is that I didn't know him before he was appointed. I saw he was being confirmed. But here's the problem. If all your leaders are weasels, with very few exceptions, if all your leaders, Congress, Senate, are deep staters secretly, if they're all on somebody's payroll or they're threatened, look, you shut up or we'll kill your family. You shut up or we'll take you out. We'll shut up. You shut up. You shut up. You shut up. And Doug, you and I know what happens. These people are dead serious. But in my opinion, the people of God... and to let them define whether they're followers of Jesus, are naive, because God, the living God, said, my people, he's not saying the left, he's not saying, you know, the furries, he's saying my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And he goes on to say, because they reject it. People will not, excuse me, will not be. Take it for a minute. I'm sorry.
Yeah, folks. I mean, this is really a good conversation, I think, to have right now, because we are looking at really a Just like the, much like the indictment that came down today, there's going to be a lot of back slapping for two charges that really, the first year law students, you wouldn't even have to be that. It could draft up very easily. And the low hanging fruit of charges, like I said earlier, when in fact, that deserves no backslapping, no celebration. Yet here we are. And consider, I mean, everything from Butler, Pennsylvania, that attempt assassination, to what happened in Utah, to, you know, the prosecution of the traitors embedded in our midst. We're not getting any justice. Go ahead, Steve.
No, and there won't be any, and there won't. Here's the thing, Doug, and I know that sounds negative to a lot of people, but look at the lack of standing up for the January 6th people. Where were all those spineless Republicans? And by the way, I have contempt almost equal, maybe greater, for the rhinos without spinos than I do with the demon rats, okay? Because it was a given. Now we see some of the most crooked politicians in history caught with their pants down. And by the way, that used to be a euphemism. Now, you know, it's what they do to each other in the Senate or in the House. Those of you who know what I'm talking about, and I don't need to go into detail. And we're a reprobate nation. And here's what I want people to understand. I grew up in the Jesus generation. Thank the Lord for that. And people say, well, what happens if we repent as a nation? I said, then God would act in accordance with repentance. But do you see it doing? Do you see, do I see, do I hear anybody calling for repentance? I do. I know that others do, but very few. And will we hold the gerbils on the spinning wheel of self-gratification, the politician, will we hold their feet to the fire? Heck no, because everybody wants to remain invisible until the knock comes on the door, the screams go down, you hear, you know, suppress fire, those of you who know what a silencer or a sound suppressor, you hear the, and sometimes it's not any louder than that. And, you know, you go, what happened? You go out in the morning and there's blood on the walls. They don't even bother to clean it off. You heard the screams. You heard the, boy, that sounds funny. The repetition of automatic weapon fire with the suppressor. There's blood all around. And what happened to your brother? What happened to your neighbor? People don't care, Doug. They do not care because they value their safety. That's why people won't stand up for Jesus. God bless, you know, Vice President Vance. What a great testimony for Jesus. And now you've got people taking on Erica, you know, Kirk, and everybody. So listen, when I see people knocking people who openly testify of Jesus, nobody can deny that Erica Kirk lost her husband. That was a miraculous thing that gave her the composure. Seeing her weeping over Charlie Kirk's coffin, there's pictures of it. I wasn't there. But, and then I hear the slander amongst the dumbest bleeping. I know what you mean by that word. Bleeping, what do you call them? Podcasters, broadcasters. They always blame the recipient of the assassination, but they're afraid. The majority of them are afraid. Not all of them, to take on the guys, the progenitors, the people behind it. And, you know, look, we're talking about the same nation you and I met, Doug, putting it into perspective after 9/11. What happened? And now we've got, in essence, the Islamification of the United States of America. White people are no good. If you're a black man or, you know, somebody, or a white crazy person, and you stab people, that young Ukrainian lady, nothing infuriated. I wish somebody would have had a CWP, a concealed weapon permit, and just stood up and blown that guy off. I mean, literally blowing him off. And yet, look at the left. they tried to denigrate that poor Ukrainian girl and make her, you know, well, because she's white, she's worthy of death. Now, that's the equation I want to leave everybody with. The hatred is accelerating. Jesus said, nation against nation, that means ethnos against ethnos. And so he said, why do you quote Jesus all the time? Because he's the only one that I trust. He's the only one that tells us the truth. And he's the only one that told us the end of history at the beginning of history. And in the Old Testament, just a good word to know is theophany or Christophany, Christ. That's a presence of Jesus in the Old Testament, as in sometimes it's the angel of the Lord. A good example is Melchizedek, without earthly father or earthly mother, who Abraham gave a tenth of everything, and he was called the king of Salem. Salem means peace. So there's only one person I know in the world that can really be called the Prince of Peace. So we won't, how do I say this, Doug? We won't, in my opinion, outside of a move of God and stainless steel being poured into by the power of the Holy Spirit, poured into men of God and women of God. I see women of God that I have more respect for than the weenies. And I used to sing that song, what is it, Feelings? And I substituted the word weenies, you know? And again, someone says, well, that's just not nice talk. Neither is the destruction of Christians all over the world through the most horrible beheadings, torture. And for the record, our brethren in Syria was one of the most, it was one of the oldest cities in the world, the oldest city in the world. They were being butchered, literally butchered as you would a hog or a cow, and the meat, human meat, put in the meat markets of Syria. And that's a real story. And, you know, here's the thing, Doug. I wish I could sit here and say, Brother Doug, this country is going to turn around. I'm telling you this. This country, because God gave us space to repent, and we in my opinion, we told God, especially the demon rat politicians, you know, God has no place on our platform. And, you know, they even deny they said that. Yet you can go on and find the guy that said that. Or the Republicans, you know. I mean, we've got some of the most, how do I say this, prolific liars in the Republican Party. And I got to tell you something. Somebody said, well, what are you, a Republican, Democrat? I said, neither. I have mutual contempt for them. I do. Now, when somebody does something right in the sight of the Lord, I'll say, man, that was a good thing. But again, this vilification, and I'm personally sick of it. I'm sick of the people in this country, even the presidency can't see the, if you will, the handbook for a communist destruction dedicated to Lucifer, and it's Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals. You can look it up. You don't have to go read the book. The 13th point, I think, you attack a target, you attack a target, you attack a target. In this case, it's Jesus. In this case, it's Christians. And in this case, the anger and hatred towards the Bible, towards Christians, but more importantly towards Jesus, is accelerating at an exponential rate. Even to the point of, remember the story that, you know, supposedly somebody paid a group of witches to put a curse on Charlie Kirk? It's probably the people that were involved behind the scenes, you know, paying them off to see. Those are fear statements, but the Bible says the curse causeless shall not light. There's nobody that stood, in my opinion. And by the way, I didn't know Charlie Kirk. I didn't know all he was involved in. But I started watching what he was talking about. And he talked about Jesus. He talked about, obviously, forgiveness. And when I saw Erica Kirk forgive the, and, you know, all the people involved, obviously, specifically the person believed to be the shooter. And, you know, I thought, that is the grace of God. So I see a bunch of claimants to Christianity, but you know what? They never talk about Jesus. They never do. They never talk about, repentance. To my knowledge, and I'm willing to be proven wrong or informed, there's very few people on podcasts, broadcasts, that will talk about repenting, turning away from our sin, turning away from our cowardice. Because I tell, Doug, and I've said this so many times, the fearful, the cowards, and the unbelieving in the book of Revelation go into the lake of fire. So when I say to somebody, and I call them what they are, nameless cowards, I say, you better make sure that you're in right standing with the Lord, because Jesus said this. We have to take responsibility. If you fail to confess me before men, I will not confess you before my Father, which is in heaven. Stand up. So you're asking, this is all in the context of what can we do? We believe God for the impossible, but we do the possible. You know, look, I can't protect myself. You can't 24/7, but I claim the angel of the Lord encamps around those who love and fear, fear him. God is a very present help in the time of trouble. You know, the umbrella, the pavilion of his presence. In other words, God shields us with the power of his Holy Spirit. So I think it's important that people understand the only one you can count on isn't going to be the person that's going to sit there when you're before the judgment seat of Christ, if you're a Christian, and say, you know, Lord, this person did this, this person did. No, everybody stands before Jesus, male or female. And I'll tell you what's an interesting thing. God doesn't run through a list. Ah, so Steve, you had a long time trouble with your mouth. You know, I've already confessed that. No, your works you've done for Jesus out of a pure heart, he just puts the fire to it and poof, you know, I mean, he's God. And whatever is pure, whatever is real, whatever was done for the purpose of the kingdom of God, not for self-preservation or aggrandizement, stands the test of the fire. But again, Doug, what I'm saying is, I wish I could tell you if we did this, that, and the other thing, in essence, the whole world hates the United States right now. I'm telling you, that's even the prophet Jeremiah, I think Jeremiah chapter 8, talking about when God brings judgment on a nation, the other nations around seeing that nation that's judged, it becomes a hissing, you know, like a snake, a hissing in the nostrils. In essence, it's a total rejection of that nation. And it's kind of like the ultimate expression of contempt. So in my opinion, here's where we're at as a nation. The nation will not repent as a nation, but we as individuals can. The closer we get to the Lord, he'll give us our marching orders. If you're in a grocery line, for instance, this is practical, and God says, you see a lady looking through her change purse with meager, and sometimes it may be a loaf of bread and a quart of milk, and she's looking for her change, go and buy her groceries. And I mean, that's nothing, but, you know, give her $20, whatever God tells you to do, and then tell her Jesus loves you. Now, I've told people do that, and they do it, and they say, wow, do you know what so-and-so told me when I did that? I said, oh, I bet I can tell you. They were impressed that you cared, and you were able to tell them about Jesus, weren't you? Yeah. So in essence, here's the deal. We're in the end of the age. That's not the end of the world. We know what's happening. The four horsemen of the apocalypse are galloping. Read Revelation chapter 6, ladies and gentlemen. And we've got war and famine and plague. And we've got all these things happening. Someone says, oh, you're so negative. Negative is the end of the age when human beings are facing extinction, genocide, and annihilation. And the sexual mutilation of our children. The Lord God of heaven rebuked the butchers, and I mean that with all my might, that the debauchery and debutchery, I'm putting a D-E in front of the word, is heinous beyond any expression that I know, yet it's all designed to extinct the human race. So I tell people, you know, when they give me stories, like, is this World War III? I said, brother, if you don't have the guts, or sister, if you don't have the guts to say this is World War III, then don't send me your crummy stories, okay? And so people want to think they're doing God a favor by maybe putting the suggestion out that, could these be the end times? I've done talk radio for so many years, and I used to be asked the question all the time on Coast to Coast, and I really am grateful for George Norrie giving me free rein on that. But I've been on Coast to Coast for a lot of years. I meet people. I just met one the other day, said, I started listening to you when you were first on Coast to Coast. I looked at him and said, man, you must have been young, because I started a long time ago. But the point is this: does the body of a work and the worth of a man, what does it actually stand at last day? You think the billionaires will be able to say, well, God, just make sure my bond portfolio follows me. And God said, it won't be a problem, because where you're going, I'm making this up, where you're going, it's too hot. Paper will catch, flames. It will become flammable. People don't believe in the eternal consequences of sin. They don't believe in national destruction, and they don't believe in the what I see going on. Stand by it. No apologies. When a nation is being judged by God before it's destroyed, okay, well, that doesn't fit into any political framework. God separates that nation, and that's what's so astonishing to me, Doug, that people cannot acknowledge that. And that's kind of that's a long-winded answer, but what can people do? They can start by standing up and standing up for truth, because there is no truth apart from Jesus. There can be political, shenanigans, or they can be, as a typical politician, they'll skirt the issue. I like the guys that basically, when I heard Vice President Vance, I can't speak to anything else, but he gave one of the most beautiful testimonies for Jesus, and basically said, I was too, a chicken or afraid to give my testimony for Jesus. And what Charlie Kirk did was, in essence, release the vice president to speak of his relationship with Jesus. Is that accurate?
Yes, it is. And I find it very interesting, too, that you brought up you brought up the issue of forgiveness. I've always had trouble, big time trouble, yep, with that. Okay. A lot of people might not know this, but folks, you remember that show Tool Time. And then after that, the various other series that Tim Allen, the comedian, was involved in. He just admitted something, and I don't know how many people are aware of this. I think this was on X, where he said, when Erica Kirk spoke the words on the man who killed her husband, that young man, I forgive him. He wrote that moment deeply affected me. I've struggled for over 60 years to forgive the man who killed my father, my dad. I will say those words now as I type, I forgive the man who killed my dad. So there is, I'll tell you something. There is a sentiment, an adherence, or a growing adherence to the fundamentals of biblical.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, of the Bible. So that's a good thing. But where I get stuck right now is I see massive injustice. The fact that we still have all of this, Steve, we still have babies being murdered, in the womb. We still have this perversion that is so prevalent everywhere within our society. And like you said, on that train where that young Ukrainian girl was viciously murdered, stabbed in the neck. There were a whole lot of people filming, but no one intervening.
And I think that was based on race hate of white people, okay? Because in essence, I wouldn't care, and I wouldn't. If I could stop someone from being murdered, like right now, Doug, you and I are fighting for the murder of our nation that's taking place before us. Okay.
Right. Yeah.
And I think the best statement I ever heard, I didn't obviously make it up, but I'm taking it up. I don't know who to give credit to, but they said child trafficking and pedophilia is the currency of the elite. Do you know who said that?
Well, I did.
Okay. Well, then I want to give you credit. because
the blood of the children, but children, that's the currency of the globalists, of the elite, of the demonic. That's, I said that. Look, if someone else said that otherwise, I apologize, but not for me saying it, but for me saying it without
not being able to tell who said it.
But to my knowledge, because Russ and I were talking about that when we were many discussions about that, and so that's what is. So here we are, and it's not just enough to expose a problem or that problem. It's what we need is to snuff out the problems. In my view, we need to be active. It's not enough to comment on the murder of that young Ukrainian woman. We have to stand up and stop that attack and other attacks like that. We have to become involved, Steve. And I don't see a lot of, although there's a lot of talk, I don't see a lot of action. I don't see a lot of people saying, you know what? I'm going to forsake my convenience, my security, my lifestyle, and I am going to, I don't know, go out to confront maybe the school board or whatever it might be. We have to act, though. In addition, yes. In addition to everything else, we have to act. And, right. What's the line? Well, where is our line? You saw the murder of that girl on the train. You watched the assassination of a young promising man, Charlie Kirk. I mean, horrific. And what is that line in the sand? What is it going to take for the Christians in this country, the Christian men in this country, to stand up and say, you know what? I'm pissed. And here's what we're going to do about it. What's it going to take?
Well, you got to get rid of the Gumby figures in the pulpit, okay? And the Gumby figures are, if you remember Mender, that dates me, but it was a claymation cartoon series, but Gumby could bend in all directions.
Oh, yeah.
Anybody's going to a church that they never hear the name Jesus mentioned, they never hear the word repentance mentioned, they never hear from the Word of God, not a book on feel-good statements, get out for your life, because the pukes in the pulpit will leave you with a smell of vomit. Oh, that's so hard. No, Jesus said if we're lukewarm, he's going to vomit us out of his mouth. Well, what does that really mean? It means you sniveling cowards, suck it up, stand up, and go forth. And I'm telling you, Doug, here's the thing. We can affect our immediate area, but when a nation from its headship down to the facilitation is gone overboard, when people want to accommodate woke folk, I'm sorry. And, I have the same problem, Doug. I basically said, Lord, give me the power of Elijah. This is a true prayer, by the way. Give me the wisdom of Jesus and then turn me loose, okay? Because I said, Lord, there's a whole lot of people that need to make the same, their same end as Elijah when he destroyed the prophets of Baal. There's a difference between talking about what's wrong and stopping what's wrong going on before you. And see, that's why I'm under the impression, ladies, if you listen to my voice, get handgun training. I am tired of women being brutalized. And seriously, if you see what happens to women in other countries, you've got to know it may be 100-1, but you don't have to succumb. Men, Jesus said, turn the other cheek. That's for a personal insult. And I saw, unfortunately, Tucker Carlson doesn't understand that even, Jesus told disciples, go and buy a couple swords. Paul carried his sword. And any man, here's the bottom line, Doug, any man that won't provide for the protection of his family in all realms is considered an infidel. That's Paul. Paul wasn't married. Paul didn't have a family, but that's what he was telling people. And people are going in into the most perilous time in history. I know we're coming to the end. And they're going in with basically, well, I'll just trust God. There's only one thing that can stand the power of the devil. This is my last word. God bless you, Doug. God bless you, Eric. Is that the power of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of the living God, as detailed in 1 Corinthians, that's what we need. We cannot overcome evil in our own strength. And God bless each and every one of you. It's a deadly, dangerous time we're undergoing right now.
Steve, thank you very much. I appreciate the time you spent with us, and hang in there. God bless you. Gen 6 for all of Steve's intellectual products, his books, his offerings, his briefings and such. That's Gen 6.